श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम अनुराध गुरुजी दुर्गदान की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नवरत धाम की जय गौ जमुन तुलसी भक्त देवी की जय नंद गौरी वैष्णव रविंद की जय समवेत भक्त बिंद की जय गौ प्रभनंद की जय ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो विष्णुराय कृष्णसागरे श्रीमने भक्तवेदान्त स्वामिनि नमने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रसादने नरवशेषनिवारि भस्माचरेशकरणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री भगवान गोविंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे श्री मुख्यान पोर्श वन बाग चैप्टर 24 वर्स 34 नमः
नमः
भजाय
महाभाय
भूता
भूता
सूक्ष्म
सूक्ष्म
इंद्रियाणि
इंद्रियाणि
वासुदेवाय
वासुदेवाय
शांताय
शांताय
senses and sense objects.
His Lord Shiva considered himself to be one of the products of the material world, the senses not being followed by the Supreme Creator. The Supreme Lord is known as Rishikesha Master of the senses, which indicates that our senses and sense objects are formed by the Supreme Lord. As such, he can control our senses and out of his mercy engage them in the service of the Master of the senses. In the conditioned state, the living entity struggles in this material world and engages the senses for material satisfaction. However, if the living entity is graced by the Supreme Personality of God, he can engage these very senses in the service of the Lord. Lord Shiva desires not to be misled by the material senses, but to engage always in the service of the Lord without being subject to contamination by materialistic influences. By the grace and help of Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, one can engage his senses in devotional service without deviation, just as the Lord acts without deviation. The word Shantaya, Putastaya, Saroshi say is very significant. Although the Lord is within this material world, he is not disturbed by the waves of material existence. However, conditioned souls are agitated by six kinds of transformations. Namely, they become agitated when they are hungry, when they are thirsty, when they are aggrieved, when they are illusioned, when they grow older, when they are on the deathbed. Although conditioned souls become very easily illusioned by these conditions of the material world, the Supreme Personality of God is the Supersoul Vasudeva, they are never agitated by these transformations. Therefore, it is said here, Kutakasaya, and he is on his peaceful path, and avoid of agitation because of his prowess, which is described here as Saroji say, indicating that he is illuminated by his own transcendental position. In other words, the individual soul, although within the illumination of the Supreme, sometimes falls down from that illumination because of his time and position, and when he falls down, he enters into the material conditional life. The Lord, however, is not subject to such conditioning, therefore he is described as self-illuminated. Consequently, any conditioned soul within this material universe can remain fully perfect when he is under the protection of the Vasudeva or when he is engaged in devotional service. My Lord, you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. You are the controller of the senses and sense objects, and you are also the all-pervading Vasudeva. You are most peaceful, and because of your self-illuminated existence, you are not disturbed by the six kinds of transformation. So here Shiva offers his respects, and through that he describes some of the qualities of the Supreme Lord. He describes him as having a lotus navel. Of course, that can simply mean his navel is shaped like a lotus, very beautiful, but of course it also refers to the fact that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu sprouts a lotus from his navel, and by that Brahma comes out and creates the material world. So therefore it also indicates that Supreme Lord is that person who is ultimately in charge of creating the material world, because he gives rise to Brahma. So therefore we cannot take Brahma as an independent person. He's under the control of Supreme Lord. Of course, even Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu, again, is an expansion from the forms of Vishnu in the spiritual world, Mahashankarsa. So in this way, there are many forms of the Lord, some of who are expansions and expansions and expansions. Nevertheless, there is a superior position to Shiva and the Jivas. Devas, Brahma. So here he indicates that the Lord actually is the creator. Durga is not the creator, Shiva is not the creator, and Brahma is not the creator. Supreme Lord Vishnu is the creator. And Buddha Sukshma Indriya Atmane, he of course is the senses. Origin of the senses, the sense obviously is the senses in one sense because he is their cause. And he controls the senses and the sense objects. So as we know that there's a transformation of property into mahatattva, ahankara, mind, sense devatas, senses, sense objects, and the five gross material elements.
So, in one sense, property is the cause, the material cause. But property does not operate unless the Supreme Lord glances. So Mahavishnu must will property to do something, and then it happens. So these senses, the sense objects, the material elements are not independent of the will of the Supreme Lord. They only operate and manifest because of Him. So, though directly we can say that Prakriti is the source of the sense objects and the senses and the material elements, at the same time we can trace back the origin to the Supreme Lord, because without Him they don't exist, and without Him they cannot operate. Still, though we say everything is one in the sense that we Ashuddha Veda Veda, we understand there is a difference. So senses and sense objects are part of property, which is yada. It's not conscious, not spiritual. So we do have spiritual world, we have material world, and they're quite distinct. So the relationship of the Lord with the spiritual energy, or Sarup Shakti and Chit Shakti, is very close. So it's called the Antaranga Shakti. He is also the source of his Bahiranga Shakti, external energy. But it is quite different. So it's called external. And it's quite different and isolated. And it's in Prakriti that we get the manifestation of the senses, the sense objects, etc. Of course, these are also temporary. And they will be dissolved. And Shiva helps in the dissolution of everything. But ultimately, everything enters into Mahavishnu. And so he's actually the source of all of these things. And here he's also called Vasudeva Shantaya Pratishtaya, so what you say. So Vasudeva can, of course, refer to the form Vasudeva, who was Krishna, son of Vasudeva, or it can refer to a Vishnu form, who is the Vasudeva. Then there's Shankar, Shankar, Dunga, Yuda. And, of course, it can also refer to the fact that Vasudeva is derived from the word Vas, and Vas means to dwell in. So one who pervades everything. So usually the interpretation of Vasudeva is connected with pervasion, that he spreads everywhere. He spreads himself out by his powers, Shaktis, by his influence, in the form of Antaryami, Paramatma, etc. He has various ways in which he can spread himself everywhere in the creation. So he spreads himself in the spiritual world through his Chit Shakti, he spreads himself in the material world through Bahiranga Shakti, and then he enters into the material world as Paramatma and spreads himself in all the jivas in the material world, etc. So in this way, the Lord is spread everywhere. Nothing is beyond the Lord. So everything is one with the Lord in that sense, because it is directly related with Him. So He's Vasudeva. And Shanta, of course, means very peaceful. So though He is connected with the material world, He's not disturbed by it. Everything else in the material world is subject to change. And when the jivas enter into matter, they are subject to happiness and distress and all sorts of problems. So the Lord is everywhere in the spiritual world and the material world, and He enters into the material world, He enters as Paramatma, and He's in charge of Satya Guna, etc. But He's not disturbed at all. He's not touched by anything. Completely peaceful in all situations. Yeah, so this is actually the meaning of Vairagya. We have the six qualities of Bhagavan. One is Vairagya. Of course, the Lord doesn't have to take sannyas or do anything like that. So by nature, He is unattached and uncontaminated by anything in the material world. He is untouched by anything in the material world. So therefore, He's called Shanta, very peaceful. Putasta means not subject to transformations. So in other words, the Supreme Lord's forms, pastime, qualities are not subject to change like those in the material world. So we have material bodies which change and ultimately are born and die. And we have qualities which change, and we have actions which are come and gone. So the Lord is completely different from that. In that sense, he's just stopped. Everything is eternal about the Supreme Lord. And so his form, his qualities, activities, everything is nitya. So in this way, it's completely different from anything in the material world. But at the same time, he looks like a figure in the material world because he has a form and qualities and activities. And everything in the material world has form, qualities, and activities. But they're completely different. So he is kutastha because he can have all of these things and also remain unchanging. So the normal idea is the material world form, qualities, and activities are changing. Therefore, God must not have form, qualities, and activities. He must be nothing. So that is why people are attracted to Brahman, because it's kutastha in that sense. No form, qualities, and activities, so there's nothing to change. In this way, everything is eternal in the Lord. Of course, the arguments can be raised that, well, the Lord appears in the material world, disappears in the material world also, so there's change there automatically. And he does an activity, and it's got a beginning, it's got an end. So he has to go over to Lila, has a beginning, and has an end to it. And then he doesn't keep doing the thing in every day of his life, that he goes to work, and he's not doing lifting over downhill. So there's an end to each pastime also. So he says, in that sense, not eternal. But the argument is, no, the Lord is always performing these pastimes. We don't see them, but in some universe, he's always performing a Govardhana Lila, he's always doing a Dhammadhara Lila, he's always doing an Adhana Lila. So it's continuous. Throughout the universe, the Lord is always appearing and always doing activities like this. So even his actions, which appear to have a beginning and end, don't. Because they're manifest again somewhere else simultaneously right after. So in this way, even his actions are eternal. And thus, hard for us to conceive how that is so. And, of course, when we say, well, qualities also appear and disappear. Sometimes he may be showing power, and sometimes he may be showing mercy, etc. But that is not something which is temporary. He intrinsically has those qualities, but he manifests them only at a certain time. That's all. So it's not that they are changeable in the sense that they disappear with the beginning and an end. They're permanently there. But by his will manifest or make disappear certain things in certain circumstances. All for his pastimes. And he's called Sarochisa. Srochise. Srochise, of course, means effulgent. So this means self-effulgent. That means, of course, it literally means like light. Light creates its own illumination. It lights up itself. But it lights up other things. Other things do not light up themselves. They get lit by the light. They are illuminated or revealed by the light. But the light reveals itself and other things. So that is the example given of self-illumination. Light is self-illuminating. Of course, that's material. But the same analogy is used, or the same description is given of spiritual things. The Atma is self-illuminator, svaprakasha. It reveals itself because it has self-awareness and reveals other things in terms of consciousness. In other words, the Atma can perceive things, and that's the way they are revealed. So just as light reveals itself and reveals other things, so consciousness reveals itself, self-awareness, and becomes aware of other things. So the Atma is also svaprakasha. But of course, you know, Atma is infinitesimal, it is small. So its self-illuminating quality is dependent upon the Supreme Lord, who is ultimately self-manifesting. So it is that Atma's self-manifestation. It's dependent. It's not absolute. It's dependent on the Lord. So the Lord is the first one who is self-manifesting in the sense that he is aware of himself and he is aware of other things. And he causes the awareness in all the jivas. So they can only be conscious of themselves and other things because of the Supreme Lord. So in other words, all knowledge ultimately stems from the Lord. And so the Upanishads say he is the eye of the eye and the ear of the ear and everything. So all the knowledge we get from all our various senses ultimately comes back to the Supreme Lord and his knowledge. Everything derives from him. So he is the supreme self-manifesting personality. But in the material world, we have light, which is self-manifest, and then we have the jiva, who's self-manifesting knowledge. The Supreme Lord is self-manifesting in always because he's absolute, and his body and his qualities and his form and his activities are all one. So and everything is self-manifesting about the Supreme Lord. It does not depend on anything else. His form doesn't depend on anything else. In other words, the Lord's form is there. It doesn't require sunlight or anything to manifest it. It manifests itself. And his qualities and his activities are all self-manifesting. They're completely independent of everything else. So, in this way, Shiva is praising Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. One, because he creates everything in the material world, and therefore he's superior to all the devatas, and Brahma, and Shiva, and Durga. Because Mahavishnu and then Garbhadaksha Vishnu come before all the other manifestations in the material world. And then within the material world, he is in charge of everything, all the jivas and all their senses and sense objects, everything, under the control of the Supreme Lord also. So even jivas in the material world are dependent upon him. So in this way, he celebrates the Supreme Lord in relation to the material world and everything in the material world. And the Lord spreads everywhere there and is unaffected. Nothing is beyond the Supreme Lord. He pervades everything in the material world. But unaffected. Completely uncontaminated by anything in the material world. This can also be said of Shiva, because he's Ishvara. He cannot be subject to conditioning like a jiva. But there is apparent covering of upadis. And therefore, we have stories like the Bhrigu story where Shiva gets angry and wants to kill Bhrigu because Bhrigu says, I don't think you're very pure, you're contaminated. So therefore, he shows tamas, very, very great anger, intense anger, he wants to kill him. So if you want, this is a tamas, it looks like tamas manifest. Ultimately, we cannot say he is tamasic. So he doesn't really have a covering because Ishvara can never be covered. But there's an apparent covering like this for Shiva. So there's a slight difference between Shiva and Vishnu because of this. Unchanging. Of course, Shiva also was unchanging, has an eternal body. So his apparent birth from Brahma, etc., also is only apparent because he has an eternal body. But this is Krishna's born from Vasudeva Devaki. It's also apparent, it's not real. So Shiva is also in this position. And he has an ever youthful body that exists beyond the material world. Nevertheless, Shiva here is praising Vishnu for being Kutastha. Because he's in a higher position. And though Shiva also doesn't change, Supreme Lord is in a much higher position for several reasons. One is that the variety manifested in the Supreme Lord is much greater because all the avatars come from the Supreme Lord. And therefore, looks so much variety is there And yet it is all one in the Supreme Lord. So when they think that, oh, there's so many things, it looks like it's changing. It's changeable. But no. It's inconceivable, but it's all part of one Supreme Lord. So his manifestation of his qualities and form, etc., still remain unchanging, just in spite of the fact that he manifests in so many ways. So this way he's got a greater display than Lord Shiva. And ultimately, he is the supreme independence. Everything else ultimately depends upon Supreme Lord. In the material world and in the spiritual world, everything ultimately depends upon the Supreme Lord. So though Shiva is Ishvara, still, just as even avatars are considered, even if they're independent, of course, because the Supreme Lord is still. In another sense, they are all depending upon Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Because he is the full manifestation of all qualities, etc. Everything is in him. So therefore, all the avatar forms are in Krishna. Shiva is in Krishna. Everything is in Krishna. So he's the ultimate form. And everything depends upon him, in that sense. So here Shiva glorifies the Supreme Lord because of his supreme position. Been in the material world and in the spiritual world.
You know, Ravana, every time he tries to give birth to some, all the sons then, Ravana twice give birth to the sons.
Yeah.
Each time the sons all die.
Yeah.
And then maybe Arjuna taking the seed to his sons. But maybe Arjuna tell them, they do not see what, do not see what, do not see what. And then taking from dying, thanks from dying. So anyway, it's not good Arjuna to fight for them, so Vishnu there. And then Vishnu had all the ingredients for the creation of the material world. So the ingredients are given by Vishnu, isn't it?
Yes,
the ingredients for the creation of this world.
Everything, property is under the control of Vishnu. Everything is under him. And when he wills it, they form into little balls and his hair and his cords and they come out as universes. And when he wills, they all dissolve and disappear again into property. Become invisible.
You mentioned the Devi scriptures. How many divine Devi, right? Those persons. When you mentioned Devi scriptures, all that I didn't understand. Is there a stacking or like?
Oh, revealed scriptures. Well, I don't know if that, I don't know how they say that in Sanskrit. They say Shastra, they don't say anything about it. So, Shastra is that which is accepted by the authorities, that's all. Then we have Vedas, Puranas, Itihasa, Smritis, etc. So there's certain words which are accepted. And it's mentioned in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. They are mentioned there, the different words which are acceptable. So those we accept. Vedas are part of the scripture. But they're eternal, so they're called Shruti, and they have a special position because of that.
Other forms? Yes, because all of them are expansions of the Lord.
Oh, like the Mahavishnu in that story. Mahavishnu, the whole reason why he had to take the sons and do all this in order to see Krishna, because he's not under the control, he cannot control Krishna. So he had to arrange this whole thing because Krishna's affection to the Brahmanas and to Arjuna, therefore he came to see Mahavishnu, but otherwise he wouldn't come. So therefore, Mahavishnu cannot control Krishna. Or similarly, Brahma Mohana Leela, his expansions were, he's
show them as Vishnu forms.
So Mahavishnu took all the sons of the Brahma of the net and wanted Mother Krishna and Arjuna to see Mahavishnu. But anyway, Vishnu did that, you know, to take all the sons of him from Vishnu to the Vaikuntha so that Krishna would come there and Vishnu could see
so
Krishna.
So he could see him, yeah. Otherwise, Krishna would not come. So therefore, that he couldn't tell him to come, he couldn't order him to come. Yeah? That was the only way, the device he could use to get him to come. Only the will of the Lord he can enter Dwarka, because only those who are his devotees can get there, and they have to have that mood. So he cannot get in.
Why?
Because he's a different mood. We don't see Vishnu in Dwarka, only Krishna. We don't see Vishnu in Vrindavan.
But he has forms. Dwarka has forms.
Huh?
Krishna has forms. But not transcendent. He's Vishnu in Dwarka.
What's that?
Dwarka is not transcendent.
Krishna has four arms in Dwarka.
Yes, sometimes. Still, he's not Vishnu. He's Krishna still.
He's not actually Krishna. Actually, Krishna is Vrindavan.
No, he's also Krishna. Different from Vishnu even there.
The same works good for Krishna also. He doesn't, he's not the same in Vaikuntha. He doesn't appear in Vaikuntha, the abode of Vishnu.
But he can if he wants to. Because he controls everything.
We're going to take instructions. We have some instructions from the Sharma, comes from the Acharya. The commentator is being fasting. Some Sharma is a very strict and common in this way. Because the Acharya is sometimes the upon Desha Ganapartha, the chain.
You have to follow according to the charts.
As far as the anger aspect is concerned, you have this question about Lord Shiva's anger. You also find the Supreme Lord becomes angry. So how is the difference?
The anger of the Supreme Lord is always under his control. Of course, in either case, even with Shiva, ultimately, it's also it's only for pastimes which happens. But in the case of Supreme, when he's Vishnu or Krishna, he's superior. So that is manifested in that story because in spite of the fact that he was kicked on the chest, still he was very peaceful and whatever like that. Whereas Shiva got angry. So in some cases, Krishna gets angry. He'll get angry at demons. But it's not real anger. Because he gives them mercy and he liberates them. Whatever. So it's only a show. So anger in relation sometimes to pastimes, as in the case of Narsimhadev also, gets angry at Prani Kasipu and tears him apart. He's very, very angry. But ultimately, beneficial for those demons. So he doesn't have real anger as such.
Krishna cannot tolerate when somebody offends his devotees. So Krishna also is angry, isn't it?
Yeah, I get anger at demons again.
No, but then they commit offenses to the devotees.
Yeah. So again, they're demons, the aparati. His anger is aparati. They're demons. But even the Lord benefits these people. So even the demons, great demons who are aparati, they get benefit ultimately from the Lord. So he doesn't hate them.
The devotees cannot be excused, you know, when they commit offenses to the Vaishnavas.
When the devotees, well, devotees shouldn't do that, demons will, not devotees.
But then he can be excused, when you commit offenses to another devotee, the devotees should, when the devotees are excused, then he's freed from the offenses.
Yeah.
Right,
the Lord is
completely
announced, and it is mentioned in then the queens of Dwarka, they thought that Krishna is their handpicked husband and he's taking so much more care. But it is also mentioned that Krishna has no attachment to him and he's not completely detached from him. So
well, that's, that statement actually isn't true. according to their degree of prema, he is attracted. That's the explanation. So it's not that he's indifferent, otherwise the whole doesn't make sense at all. Because Krishna is controlled by his devotees, so the queens are also devotees. But in Dwarka, there were some who were lesser. So the amount of prema, therefore, that the Lord Jesus controls them is less than those who are close to them, like Rumini and Satyabhama, then very, very close. So therefore, he's under their control. But some are less.
So Maharaj, this renunciation does act only in terms of his interaction with the material world?
Yeah.
It's not going to be done in handpipe, isn't it?
No, not really. It's for pastime. But he's under the control of the devotees.
Maharaj, some of these qualities are applicable to the eternal associates of the Lord.
What?
Then to the...
Oh, yeah. Are they all eternal bodies? Mm-hmm. Unchanging, eternal, interested as the devotees. They have eternal forms, etc.
Thing another bro varum.